would like to pick up on where we left off some 2 or 3 weeks ago. Who crucified Jesus Christ? The crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These put together form the essence and the very heartbeat of the gospel and man's eternal salvation. Without Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, there would be no gospel. Man would be doomed for eternal destruction. And no doubt, the Apostle Paul tells us that I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then as he continued to reason why he didn't want to hear anything among them, he told them that the reason for this is that your faith should not stand in man wisdom, but in the power of the Almighty God. In the first two lessons, we look at the fact that the Bible tells us that God crucified Jesus Christ. In the second lesson, in fact, the passage that it pleased, Isaiah chapter 53, we don't have to read that, we want to go on. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, that it pleased the Almighty God to bruise Jesus Christ for us. And that was talking about what Jesus Christ went through to redeem us. That was telling us, yes, it was God who planned that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin at Calvary. Then when it comes to the fact that the Bible teaches us that Christ crucified Christ, we are told in the book of St. John chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18 where Jesus Christ says, I lay down my life, referring to his death at Calvary, and he said, I take it again. So in these two passages, we are being told that God crucified Christ, and Christ crucified Christ. In the second lesson, we note the awesomeness. We note the fearfulness and the mystery of God's permissive will. Brother Mitchell, what is fearful about God's permissive will? There are a lot of things that are fearful about God's permissive will if you run it through your thoughts. The things that God has permitted should make any well-thinking Christian realize that we do not know that even when it comes to our lives, what God will permit. I find that fearful. That's right. Why some terrible thing happen to the best of God's children? And they do happen. Down through the ages. Why some of the best of God's children have to go through some of the fearful challenges of life. I can go on, and this is what I mean when I talk about not only the awesomeness, but the fearfulness and the mystery of God's permissive will in allowing for the freedom and at the same time the responsibility of human will. This we see displayed in Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. At Calvary. And in bringing man's redemption and salvation through Christ. In bringing that about, the Almighty God used and permitted evil men who were in pursuit of their own evil objective. God permitted them and used them. He permitted the pride and the vanity of the Israelite people. He permitted even Satan himself to display their unbelief, their ignorance, their arrogance, their pride, their cruelty, and their wickedness against Jesus Christ. The mystery of God's permissive will, the things that God has control over, yet He permitted them. Yes! Some application. What about God and the heartless, the vicious, daily murders? It's not just killing. They are heartless. They are vicious. Murders taking place right within our shores. Huh? Is God helpless? Is the Almighty God afraid of the gunmen? Is it that the Almighty God has no power or control? No, ladies and gentlemen, it is the permissive will of God at work. The Almighty God knows what to permit. when to permit it, and the Almighty God will determine how far it will go. Never let your mind wander in respect to whether the Almighty God have any control over the gunmen, over the wickedness of man's heart. Remember, he himself tells us in the book of Isaiah that the heart of man is desperately, it is not just wicked, desperately wicked above all things. So God is in control, and the Almighty God will determine how far any evil, vicious murderer goes. God will permit that and determine where to put the stop. Are we there? Ladies and gentlemen, not only God crucified Christ, not only Christ laid down his life, referring to his death on the cross. And in that passage in St. John, he was saying, I am the one who willingly submit myself to this. But not only Christ and God, but the scripture tells us that Satan also crucified Christ. Ooh. Yeah? Yes, Satan also crucified Jesus Christ. In the very first promise of Jesus Christ and the gospel, the Almighty God foretold in that very first promise in the entire Bible, the very first time Christ and the gospel was promised. In that text, the Almighty God foretold, one, the prolonged struggle, two, the perpetual antagonism, and three, the ultimate bruised heel of Jesus Christ. The ultimate bruised heel of Jesus Christ. Yes, that passage found in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. The very first time in the entire Bible that Christ and the gospel and man's redemption going to be hinted at and the promise. We are told that Satan would bruise Christ's heel. That was the crucifixion. That's right. That bruise heel spoken about in verse 15 was all about Jesus Christ at Calvary. Let us hear the passage.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
I will put hate, antagonism between. Jesus Christ is addressing Satan, you know, right here. I will put hate or enmity between you and the woman.
And between thy seed and her seed.
And between thy seed and her seed. Notice that her seed is singular. Read on.
It shall bruise thy head.
In fact, where is my old? You know, I have it. I put that old American version on my desk from last night. Because, and when I take up my things a while ago. It's left right there on the desk. Because I want that text to be read from the American Standard Version. Because where the King James have it, the American Standard Version correctly have he. And I will put enmity between.
Enmity between thee and the woman.
Uh-huh.
And between thy seed and her seed.
Uh-huh.
It shall bruise.
It. That is, should be he shall bruise
his heel. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Wonder why you're not changing the Bible for brother. That's right. He, the he there, or even the it, but he is more appropriate. He shall bruise thy heel, referring to the seed of the woman.
The New International.
Let me hear it, brother.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman.
Uh-huh.
And between your seed and her seed.
Read.
He shall bruise you on the head.
You see that I'm not a liar, I'm not adding to God's word. Now, Brother Wade is reading from the International Version. But not only the International Version, the American Standard Version. And you may say, what's the difference, Brother Mitchell? When the American Standard Version and some of these other versions of the Bible were translated from Greek into English, they had found more Greek manuscripts and were able to do a better scholarly work in translating. That's simply it. That's right. Now, so the point here, of course, is all this, the woman's seed was referring to Jesus Christ. Are we there? Are we there? As I said, in this passage, we have the very first promise of Jesus Christ. His cruelty. Fiction, man's salvation and Christ's ultimate victory and triumph over Satan and sin. Her seed is not only the first announcement of Jesus' supernatural birth, but also, watch here now, in this very verse 15, we are being told of the active activities of Satan in Christ's crucifixion. The active activity of Satan. When the Bible talks about you shall bruise his heel.
His heel.
That is talk about what Satan would do to Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's right. Thou shalt bruise his heel at Calvary. Satan exhausted all his capacity in punishing Jesus Christ. Are we there? Who? But Satan could have contrived the betrayal kiss of Judas. Who but Satan could come up with that kissing, that affectionate kiss. And that is what you will use to betray him. Who but Satan could do that? Who but Satan could induce the soldiers representing Rome to gather what country people call Maka, We city people call it thorns. Who but Satan could put in the soldier's mind to gather thorns for the brow of a man that Pilate had already declared that he was innocent? The cross must have exhausted the capacity of Satan himself for the heaping up, for the eating up of suffering, of torture and pain upon Jesus Christ. Jesus' death was not just a death. It was torture that continue almost for a whole day. Why? Your sin, my sin demanded that the full price be paid for sin. Ladies and gentlemen, you know Jesus Christ said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. In English that means, I am the A and the Z. In English that means, I am the first and the last letter in the alphabet. Huh? Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that Satan knew this, that Jesus Christ was the A and the Z of the alphabet, and therefore Satan threw the entire alphabet at Jesus Christ in suffering, in torture, in pain, in degradation, and in shamefulness. As one man rightly put it, the A in the alphabet stands for arrest, like a common criminal. The B stands for betrayal by Jesus' so-called friend. The C is for Christ, crucifixion and the cross. The D in the alphabet is for this desertion of his disciple. The E is for the encirclement of his enemies. The F stands for the fainting of Jesus Christ, the fainting and the falling under the weight of the cross. The G is for the garden, help me here, of Gethsemane. The H is for the hall of Herod. The I is for the inscription over Jesus' head. The J is for Judas. The K is for the kiss of betrayal. The L is for the lies that were told in making sure that they get him. The M is for the malefactors on the right and on the left. The N is for the nails in his hands and in his feet. The O is for the order of the governor under whose rule he was crucified. The P is for Pontius Pilate. It is for the priests and the Pharisees who played such an active part in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The Q is for the quaking earth. The earth shook. Haven't we been told that? Yes, the quaking earth that shuddered at the deeds done to Christ, the hour is for the rejection of Christ and for the release of Barabbas. The S is for the smiting on the cheek and the spitting that was done at Jesus Christ. The T is for the thorns. Yes, the marker. The thorns that were used to make a mark crown. Have you ever wondered that this crown, you know, when it's placed on his head, it's sticking? I mean, Satan invented and exhausted his capacity to discourage Jesus Christ from the cross. Satan probably felt, if I could just frighten him. But with all of this, I could tell you that the U is for the unjust trial, unjust and ungodly trial. I could tell you that the V is for the vituperation. The word means revile and abuse of Jesus' enemies and foes. Should I tell you that the W is for the water where Pilate washed his hands? Yes. Satan threw the entire alphabet in trying to come up with ways to make Jesus' death as painful, as shameful, as torturing as was possible. But ladies and gentlemen, whatever Jesus Christ bore at Calvary, in his crucifixion, our sin called for that price. Are we there? Are we there? I pointed out in the passage that seed is singular. Am I right? It is talking about one singular personality, Jesus Christ. That is the woman seed. Have you ever noticed the passage of Galatians 4:4? Quick. Born of a woman. Let us hear the passage. Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Born of a woman.
But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman.
Made or born of a woman. Read.
Made under the law.
Made under the law.
To redeem them that were under the law.
May I? You have just listened to the passage. There has been only one descendant of Mother Eve who was born of a woman without being begotten of a man. So you notice the passage never mentions about Jesus Christ being begotten. The passage placed the emphasis on the part that the woman plays. Born of a woman, never begotten by a man. Jesus Christ is the only person, I mean the only person, that was ever born of a woman but was never begotten of a man. You can ask your biology teacher to work that out. That's right. Science from now until thy kingdom come can never explain that. That's the work of the Almighty God. Yes, that's the woman's seed. One of the things I am glad about the passage of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 is that the text did not only state the bruise he, referring to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but you know what it mentioned too? The crush. In fact, have you noticed why Satan would bruise Christ? He. But when the Bible wants to remind God's people of Jesus Christ's ultimate victory over Satan, over sin, over death and the grave, it talks about crushed head. But Brother Mitchell, it used the same word bruise. Yes. But the word is also translated crushed. Let me hear Genesis again. Chapter 3, verse 15.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman.
Uh-huh.
And between your seed and her seed.
Uh-huh.
He shall bruise you on the head.
He shall
bruise you on the head.
You can, in fact, if you read some translation, it will have. He shall crush you on the head. When you crush a person's head, you destroy that person. You can do a lot with the heel, and the person still survive and live a successful life. So this passage telling us of Jesus Christ, ultimate victory, because he will crush the head of Satan.
And you shall bruise him on the heel.
The seed of the woman in Christ, and because of Jesus Christ, the child of God who remains true and who remains faithful to Christ, that child of God can look forward for victory and triumph in Christ. If for no other reason than the fact that Jesus Christ has already crushed the head of Satan. Thank God for that. We are not people who are to live as if Jesus Christ has failed. Christ succeeded. Satan has been defeated. By Jesus Christ at Calvary and in Christ's resurrection. In closing, look at Genesis again. Let me hear verse 16.
To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.
I'm looking for the verse that pronounced the curse upon the serpent.
It starts at verse 17.
Let me hear it.
Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life.
Mark your point, Brother Jonathan. There is a chance we don't know how tonight will work out. I don't mean we don't know. Yes, there are many lessons I have that can present. But one of the lessons that I have in mind for tonight, because of this lesson today, is some practical things you and I can learn from Adam's failure. Some things that we can apply to our everyday Christianity today. About four practical things, very interesting, that we can learn from Adam's mistake. Yes, yes, we are going on to where God addressed the devil. Mm-hmm.
Yes, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread.
Read.
Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, and from you are dust, and dust you shall return. Now the man called his wife.
No, the serpent, the curse serpent. On the serpent.
Verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle.
I want you to listen. We are closing. But quite interestingly here, Satan chose to use the serpent. Satan knew, he knows us more than we know ourselves. More than we know ourselves. Satan. May I just drop this? With the help of God and the gospel, you and I get to know ourselves better. Did you know that the child of God gets to know him or herself better than the ungodly man? Because left up to ourselves, with all the psychology and the psychiatry and the this out there, left up to just pure secularism, we don't get to know ourselves. The word of God helps us to know ourselves better. And therefore, when you become a child of God and study God's word and believe it, day by day, the Almighty God helps self to unfold and for you to know self. Now, watch here now. As the Almighty God cursed the serpent. The serpent, the snake was used by Satan because Satan, who knows us more than we know ourselves, Satan knew what was the most effective means to get to the woman. Read.
Cursed are you more than all the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And more than every beast of the field.
Mm-hmm.
On your belly you will go.
Wait. This implies that previous to this, the serpent walk on legs like other reptile or animal. That's what this is telling us. That the snake did not always walk, slide on its belly. Read on.
All the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman,
mm-hmm.
and between your seed and her seed.
May I? The serpent represents sin because it was the serpent that Satan used to bring sin into the world. May I? The serpent, the snake is secret and stealth. That is, he comes in ways that you don't know the snake. But not only that, the snake will strike without any warning. The bite of so many snakes is poisonous. Are we there? All of this is telling us that sin is like that. Are we there? Sin, like the poison of the snake, sin bites. Are we there? Sin, like the poison of the snake, must be dealt with drastically. Are we there? Quickly and urgently. When you are bitten by a snake, if it is not dealt with urgently and quickly, the poison is permitted to affect the whole system. Sin works like that. So a lot of the things we see about snakes. I lived in West Texas for about 3 years and much. That's where I complete my education. Because Texas is south, you hardly have snow in most part of Texas. It is a place that was plentiful with rattler snake. And you will be passing a little piece of bush, and if you hear the rattle, run as fast as you can. Because once that snake, boom, and in seconds, within seconds, he let poison in your body, and if you do not get urgent and quick attention from the doctor, you are dead. Sin is more deadly. Christ's crucifixion on the cross of Calvary. Yes, God, the Almighty God, permitted Satan to play his part. Yes, the Almighty God permitted Satan to work through the many human agents to pour out their wrath and their hate and their unbelief and their disobedience on Jesus Christ. But may I? Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin there. Sin is deadly. The Almighty God brought you here today to tell you the price for your sin was paid at Calvary by Christ. And forgiveness is available now. Not tomorrow, not next year. Through Jesus Christ, forgiveness is available now. Because Christ went to Calvary. Yes, Satan played his part. Wicked men and women played their part. Government played their part. But the price has been paid. Forgiveness, fellowship with God. Son and daughter, father and son, father and daughter relationship is available right now through Jesus Christ. And because we have gone to Calvary and was successful, we are going to ask that you make up your mind right now. Have you noticed? And even in watching television, you have seen this. Where when a person is bitten by a poisonous snake, they never sit down and wonder, say, you know what? Let me think about it and probably I'll go to the doctor tomorrow. You never see that. Unless the person is sick up here. We have seen people rush. You have seen people around them rush to get to the doctor. Sin is more deadly than the poison of the snake. But thank God, Dr. Jesus Christ is available right now. Not only available for the alien sinner who has never been baptized, but for the child of God who have grown unfaithful, backslide, give up serving God faithfully, Jesus Christ's forgiveness is available today. To the sinner, Jesus Christ said, repent if you believe. If you accept your sinful condition, repent, confess Christ's name, and get baptized. Not tomorrow. You can do that now. Right now, as we stand and sing.